And it is the prayer closet, that half hour we take out of each day, or in this case, 20 minutes that we take out of each day when the morning show runs a little long, to pray for you. If you have a prayer request today, 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 is the number to call, or you can email or text at prayer@yeshome.com. That's prayer@yeshome.com. Either way, let us know what's on your heart today, and we'll lift it up before the Lord on the prayer closet. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't need to worry about that. Don't let that hinder you from getting the prayer that you need. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have to come and seek you in prayer, knowing that you are our ever-present help in times of trouble and in times of need, that you are there to meet that need. You're there to help us. You're there to encourage us. And that, Lord, we can find hope in you always because you are faithful. So we praise you. We celebrate you. We rejoice in you. We delight in you in this day, Lord, and pray that you would move with power, might, and strength among us and among those who call in with their requests, Lord, that they would experience your power, your might, and all its goodness and mercy. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 is the number to call to get your prayer request in. You can also email or text to prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayers, we always like to get into the Word of God, and we're going to jump right in because we're running a little behind today. And we've been looking at the life of Abram, or Abraham. He's not Abraham yet. God has not yet renamed him. We've been looking at his call to leave his land and his people and go to the land God would show him, and we saw his faithfulness there. We've seen some ups and downs along the way, and some where his faith failed him a little bit when he was in Egypt and told everybody Sarah was his sister instead of his wife because he's afraid they'd kill him to take her as his wife, their wives. We saw him separate from Lot and then have to rescue Lot. And yesterday we looked at the blessing that Melchizedek gave him. And so we're in chapter 15 now and up to the point where God is going to reaffirm the covenant that God has given him. And God comes to Abram, and it's many years. You know, God has, sometimes you read the Bible and it's like, you know, one day God comes and tells him to do this, and a week later this happens, and a week later that happens. But in reality, many, many years have passed since God made his pledge to Abram. And the pledge was not only for land, to the land that he would show you, because you've seen the land, but also that he would have descendants as numerous as, you know, the sand on the seashore. Well, Abram is still childless. Many, many years have passed since God made that pledge. He was 75 when he talked to him the first time. He's not getting any younger. Many more years have passed, still no child, and it seems impossible that this is going to happen. And yet God comes to him. Chapter 15, it says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, 'O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus.' And Abram said, 'You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir.' And then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." God has pledged Abram offspring, but he has had none. He was 75 when the pledge first came. It seemed impossible then. Many more years have passed. The likelihood has just decreased over that time. And we can understand, you know, Abram's questioning God, saying, you know, "You've given me your heirs, you promised them, but you've given none to me. And now Eliezer from Damascus, who is his servant, will be his heir." Right? In order to pass on, if in that culture, if someone was childless, they would basically adopt someone, a servant, a trusted servant, out of their household, and that would become their heir. But he's not his true blood relation. And so Abram is looking at the real possibility that here's been this promise that my descendants will inherit this land that God has given me. They'll be as numerous as the seashore, as sand on the seashore, and yet I don't have any. And a man who is not my descendant, who is not from my bloodline, is going to receive all that I have and receive my inheritance. It seems like the promise of God isn't really working out. But God reaffirms that promise. He takes Abram back outside and he shows him the stars. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the stars in the sky that's outside the city and even really outside the country, well outside of any metropolitan area. But if you do, what you see is something that is amazing. I remember we were in Africa. In South Africa, we were on a mission trip, and we had a little time, and so we went to Kruger National Park while we were there. We had a break between we were doing two different segments in our mission, and so we had a little break between, and so we got to go to Kruger National Park. Kruger National Park is this huge game preserve. And literally, it's the size of New Jersey. So it's huge. And you just drive around. The animals wander everywhere, and you just drive around in your car, and you drive to these little camps. And the camps are walled off, but everything else is just wide open. And so there's these little camps that you stay in. And the camps, there's no... The camps aren't really lit up. When you get to the camps, there's a main building, and then there's little huts, and you stay in the huts, and there's lights on in the building, lights on in the huts, but that's it. There's no, like, street lights, if you will. There's no even lights along the path. I remember walking back from where we ate dinner in the main lodge over to our hut and getting lost in the way because there's no lights. It was pitch black. Afraid I was going to step on a snake or something. So it's incredibly dark. There's no light anywhere, and which means there's none of that, what they call light pollution. There's no, you're hundreds, literally hundreds of miles away from the nearest metropolitan area. And the stars are incredible because there's no light to block them out. There's no light from a city to block them out, or even from a suburb or a small town. And it is amazing how many stars you see. It's nothing like now, you know, you see a few bright stars up in the sky and, you know, it's kind of cool, but it's nothing compared to what you see when you get rid of all that light that blocks out the other lights that you normally would see and away from any city area or anything and can look up into an unfiltered sky and see the stars. It is stunning how many stars there are. And that's what Abram would have saw, right? He's not, there's no big cities, there are no lights. I mean, this is the sky that he's looking into, and it is filled with stars. Literally filled with stars. And if you've ever been out way out in the country or way out away from it, you know what I'm talking about. How many stars there are. It's not just a few up in the sky. The sky is literally filled with them. And God says, this is what you're going to have. Look in the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And I'm telling you right now, you could not count those stars. When we were in South Africa and looked up in that sky and saw those stars, you couldn't count them. There were too many. And he says, so shall your offspring be. He says, God promises. He says, look, I'm telling you right now, this man, that servant will not be your heir. You will have an heir who will come from your own body, from your own bloodline. Not only will you have an heir, but I want you to look up in the sky and see these stars. Those are your descendants. It's, again, an amazing promise, but one Abram's heard before, and nothing has happened on it. So you could understand if maybe Abram doubts and says, you keep saying this, God, but you're not delivering. But he doesn't. Once again, great verse, 15:6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abraham has faith in God, and that faith is credited to him as righteousness. Paul will use this later on in his book of Romans to talk about how we're all saved by faith, by grace through faith, that we have no righteousness of our own. The righteousness that comes by God through faith, or from God through faith. And the same is here. True for Abram. It's not just true in Jesus. It was true for Abram as well. It was his belief and faith in God that was credited to him as righteousness. Abram believes. Abraham has no reason to believe. Everything tells him he shouldn't believe. He's even heard this promise before and hasn't happened yet. I mean, there's even more reason now for Abram not to believe God than the first time God told him. And yet he believes. He's not allowing circumstances to cloud his judgment. He's not allowing his impatience to cloud his judgment. He's not allowing doubt to cloud his judgment. These things may have been there, but he puts them aside to say, I will believe. I'm going to believe God is going to do this thing. He said he would. I'm going to believe he will. Against all odds, Abram believes because he's a man of faith. And he believes that the God who made these promises will fulfill them, even though he knows less about this God than we do. Remember, Abram doesn't have a Bible. There's not even a set form of religious practices to follow. The law has not been given. We don't have the Ten Commandments. Moses is a long way off. Everything he knows about God is told in oral stories that have been passed down. And he doesn't know really a whole lot. And yet he believes. This is why I think Abram is one of the most amazing men of the Bible, because he does more with less than anybody. He has so little information about God compared to what we have. And yet he continues to believe him when God tells him stuff that seems impossible. So what about us? We have so much more to go on. We have a Bible. We have thousands of years of practice and God working in the world and the church history and the history of the New Testament, the history of the Old Testament, the history of Israel. We have evidence upon evidence upon evidence of God's work. We have so much more to know and understand this God who is coming and confronting Abram. And yet so often we fall short of his faith. Despite having so much more, we doubt, we don't believe. God tells us stuff and we think, no, that's impossible. It can't happen. Well, what God was telling Abram was impossible, but he believes. And when we believe, guess what? God's crediting it to us as righteousness as well. God is telling you something in your life today. I don't know what it is, but he's telling you something. He's got a word for all of you. Something that he's saying to you. Something he's telling you. A promise he's making. Whatever that is, believe the word that God gives you. Believe and don't doubt. And he will bring it to pass. Because the one who promises is faith. And your belief will be credited as righteousness. Welcome back with your prayer requests, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. It is the prayer closet, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And got a praise report in, a prayer request, but it is a praise, and we always like your praises as well. And this is a listener writing in, had requested prayer for a baby who's having surgery, and says, praise report, the baby's surgery went well, and so far has no complications. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We give you all glory and honor, Lord, for leading this little child through this surgery. Lord, we thank you that everything went well. We thank you that the surgery was successful. We thank you that there's no complications. We thank you for your continuing care and hand over them as you watch over and heal them. We thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory, Lord, because you protected this child and watched over them. You are great and you are mighty, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love and care for the children and love and care for this child. And we praise you, Lord, for the good report and give you all glory. Pray this in your name, amen. Well, thank you for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, you can always get your prayer requests to us at prayer@yeshome.com. You can email or text those to us at any time. You can also call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's always people here to be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. Or if you need to talk to someone, it's after business hours. You can go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. You can get connected to a live online spiritual coach. This is a real person you'll be talking to for a live online chat. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at our website at yeshome.com.